Good afternoon, Rabbosai, Chaverai. As president of Rabbinic Alumni, it's a pleasure to greet you all here this afternoon. It is, in a way, the conclusion of a wonderful year that we've had with many, many programs. And we sit here this evening as guests of the president. I recall in his inaugural address to us, he spoke about ennobling us by enabling us. And I really think that this day has been a demonstration of that. We've spent the morning and afternoon fulfilling a tefillah that we recite daily, Lilmoid Lamed. We ask the Rabbeinu Shloilam for an opportunity to learn and to teach. But following that is also Lishmor Velasos. We also want to have the ability to implement and to put this into practice. Our president, President Joel, together with Rabbi Brander, who heads the Center for Jewish Future, the CJF, have a plan to enable us to reach out to Achenu B'nai Yisrael in America and throughout the world, to share with them the vision of Yeshiva University, to enable us to ennoble them, to share with them the Torah that we are privileged to learn. If you had the opportunity to look at the email sent out by the CJF this past week, I think it was about a 10-page document describing in great detail everything that the CJF is presently doing and what they expect to do. We can all really take great pride in the work of the yeshiva. It is my pleasure to present this moment the president, President Richard Joel, who will share with us his vision of the continuing work of the CJF, together with Rabbi Brander, who will speak after him, I believe.
Thank you, Brishus HaRabbanim. It's a pleasure to be with you this evening after what I'm told was an important day and a worthwhile day. There's nothing more exciting than to see what should be what we sometimes call a no-brainer actually happen, that the yeshiva should be positioned to be constantly investing with you in advancing the agenda of the Jewish people. And I'm delighted that through the leadership of the rabbinic alumni, we were able to have this type of Yom Iyun that should not be an Ein Einsika, that gives you opportunities to refresh your own knowledge and to meet some of the personalities who are dealing with issues that are trenchant. And frankly, we did enable to also empower you to take the roles that you have to take in your communities to not just be a pass-through to the gedolim, but in fact be empowered to teach and to pasken and to take responsibility for these issues that are very important. I look forward to these opportunities to be together with my rabbinic colleagues because I think we have an important business that we have to work on. I also want, you've met everybody who's here, except you haven't met Rabbi Josh Joseph, who is, of course, a musmach of the yeshiva and a graduate of Revel. He exercised some poor taste in going to Penn undergraduate, but he's in the process of doing tshuva. And he has served for the last year as my chief of staff, and I just have to say that Moshe should have been blessed with as good a staff as Josh is to me, and you should just know who he is, because to the degree that there are needs that you might have, and if you want, you can probably figure out how to speak to me. But if you really want to accomplish something, Josh is here for that purpose. One of the things I want to share with you in that light is, I think you're aware of it, but you should know how aware I am, that what will make us as a university and as a yeshiva and as a movement effective in working with you and serving Klal Yisrael is the quality of the people that I get to put around me. I know what my job is. And an effective leader is somebody who is able to bring people more talented than he. And I think in Josh Joseph, and certainly in the other people you have here, in Rabbi Schwartzberg and his colleagues, in the quite incredible Rabbi Kenny Brander, I think then Rabbi Bieler is here now, who I left out. Rabbi Krinsky is here, and Rabbi Mostovsky is here. Is there anybody here who doesn't work for me? There is not yet. And you did work for me. That's why Kenny's here. You did important work on my behalf. I think there's a powerful team coming into place. And by the way, it's replicated on the academic side as well. Esther and I have spent multiple Shabbatot, more than one a month, in different communities around the nation, for the purpose, frankly, of just reintroducing the community to YU and pushing a little bit of a reset button, to be able to talk to the people directly and talk about, however we say it, there are 9,000 ways to say it. My particular language, stolen from Rav Tendler, is to talk about Torah Umadu L'Chatchila, the aspirational lifestyle that we represent and teach and want to share, the role we think we have both as an institution and through that as part of a powerful movement of the Jewish people to advance in the face of encroaching darkness of civilization, for us to advance and not to defend, but to advance. And in each of these communities, I always have generally between Mincha and Marav a period of over an hour where I entertain questions and generally very successfully dodge them. But I hope that after Rabbi Brander's presentation, there's an opportunity for us to chat. My message is a simple one. I sense, from my own lay perspective, from traveling the country and by talking to your children and grandchildren who are my students, there's an unbelievable energy, an unbelievable desire to move on. There's an unbelievable desire to say that we just need to be reminded that we possess a treasure and have to know how to capitalize on that treasure and share it with the world. There's no question in my mind that the world is too much waiting for its leadership, as Rabbi Rybak said, to be enabled to ennoble them. And I think there are two key partnership groups that we at Yeshiva have to work with. I mean, please understand, we are not a social service organization. We are an educational institution. I hope that as an educational institution, we are a convening educational institution. And to the degree that there are services available in the community to help with the social services of the community, Harei Zeh Meshubach. But I can also tell you that since the Jewish people's life is so intertwined with education, it's not for us to duck the opportunities that present us to be a galvanizing force to move forward the community. And I believe that if there are two groups that we have a serious opportunity with, it's with the educational leadership of our country, the Jewish educational leadership of our country, and the rabbinic leadership of our country. And I do work on the principle that there's this wonderful concept that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. We have managed, through all kinds of peculiarities, to invert it and to have the whole being less than the sum of its parts. And it's largely because we haven't bonded together. It's largely because we haven't acted as a force. It's largely because we haven't trusted each other. And it's largely because Yeshiva University was dealing with very profound existential issues, where the most important thing had to be that if we disappeared, there'd be nothing. And for a generation, I'm afraid that we built up our walls and we disconnected a little bit from that agenda of being in partnership with the community and the community's leadership because we had to. As a result of that, thank God this is a very strong institution. It has enough money so that I can't do what I want to do, but it's going to be hard for me to break it. There's enough resources at Yeshiva that the trustees will allow me, together with my community, to take some risks to build what we need to build on the assumption that the community will support it. It's very clear to me that the most important thing we need from the community is its children, that the degree to which a larger and larger percentage of the children of our community come here to get their education, it gives us an opportunity to ensure that their Jewish learning continues past high school and past Israel. it gives us an opportunity to expose them to the ideas of the world that an increasingly effective Yeshiva College and Stern College are able to share, to do so in an environment of an integrated life with service learning opportunities and extracurricular activities and learning activities, many of which are led by the Center for the Jewish Future, and for us to be able to model to students the opportunity to be, my other catchword, to grow and take on responsibilities as Clay Kodesh and Lay Kodesh. I can't tell you how I feel and taste that it's right up there. The purpose of this evening is to say, look, we can succeed in so many things if we do it together. If the rabbinate, if there'd be 100 rabbis who would talk to each other, who would have a shared agenda, who would build forward, who would be talking about writing collective headlines, who would gain strength from each other and not feel besieged, it would be a different world. As we move to have the different yeshivot work together and work with our new structure that we're building here, it's clear to me that we can be an incredible force in propelling Jewish education forward. We just have to realize that we have to trust each other, we have to ask questions of each other, but not play gotcha, not give in to the horrific cynicism that is the curse of our community, but really embrace the light that's there. I mean, we're reading this week about tzitzit. The great notion of tzitzit is that if God left some loose ends, it's for us to put on the beged, right, and to realize that the mitzvahs u'risem oso u'zachartem v'asisem. And the lesson that we get to teach is the Torah is supposed to be wrapped around us, that we're supposed to involve ourselves with it in depth, and we're not just supposed to then pat ourselves on the back, but we're supposed to go out and do something with our values. That is a very powerful lesson that this generation of young people are hungry to hear. If we do it with integrity and with variety, and if we work on the two notions that at the core of this institution has to be a notion of Torah u'mada l'chadchila, but it has to live comfortably with us being a big tent, the chol dichpin yesei v'yechol, who live within the bounds of halacha, that this is their place as well, and that should be a metaphor for how we build our communities, we can do a lot. It was that mandate that led to the creation of the Center for the Jewish Future. And the goal of the Center for the Jewish Future is threefold, as I see it. So I guess it's threefold. One is to make sure that we create for our students on this campus, through service learning and through modeling, opportunities for them to realize how they can matter in the world and how they can matter in the world as serious Jews, how they can impact, how it models the kind of professions and dignity they can have in the Rabbanut and in Jewish education and in Jewish professional leadership. Number two, how it can work together with the yeshiva in making sure that in addition to creating musmachim who are great Talmidei Chachamim, they're also great Talmidei Chachamim who have the skills to communicate that lumdus to others, who have the ability to translate that into public policy, and that the Center for the Jewish Future has important roles to do in that as well. Number two and a half, one of the CJF's jobs is to look at all the different silos that have been Yeshiva University. And they're silos that are crumbling a little bit as they're actually looking at each other and learning to work together. But to look at all those silos and say, how do we infect those silos with a Jewish agenda? What's the Jewish agenda? How do we build those kind of opportunities, whether it's by fashioning the Yeshiva University Center for Israel, for Jewish law and interdisciplinary studies at Cardozo, or whether it's promulgating the sister relationships that Einstein now has with Weizmann and with other institutions in Israel. Whether it's a center for ethics that really struggles with some very hard issues of how you have secular medical school ethicists in Rashi Yeshiva having an agenda that can be mutually reinforcing. That's part two. And part three, that the programs of CJF have to provide key service to the Jewish world and have to do it through serving you, through partnering with you, and also being a force in the community so that YU is there. YU is there not as a brand. YU is there as a package of services. To the day schools, it has to be there in terms of educational services, consulting services, and helping to provide students to become teachers, to be in that, in those schools. To the rabbinate, it has to be as a source of program, as sustenance, of chevreshaft, of providing speakers and teachers and opportunities. Right? And that's the role of the CJF as well. So I'm delighted that that would have been great in living up here if I wasn't able to get a master who was both a theoretician and an implementer, whose vision is grand but whose heart is even larger, who has endured a great deal of challenges, because some of you might have a sense that Yeshiva University is not the easiest of institutions and not the easiest of cultures to create change in. But he's been so far, and only growing, a wonderful partner with me and with all others. So it's my pleasure to thank you, to hope that we will have in just a few minutes a chance where you could honor me by asking me any hard questions that are on your mind. But before that, I really wanted to turn to Rabbi Kenny Brander.
Brishut HaNasiya Yeshiva. If it's possible, I would like to just begin with a few words of Torah and perhaps just craft my comments from there. Since the whole day has been on the notion of Shemitah, there's an interesting Egle Tal in the beginning of the Tractate of Shabbat that asks the following question. That is, why is it that if I plant seeds on Shabbat and then 15 minutes later I go and I remove those seeds from the soil, the halacha is that I've still violated the Shabbat. But if I do the following, if during Shemitah I plant seeds and 15 or 20 minutes or a half a day later I remove those seeds from the soil, the halacha is I have not violated Shemitah. How can it be that the same halacha, the same activity, can be a violation of Shabbos, but not a violation of Shemitah? So the Egle Tal explains that you have to understand that Shabbos and Shemitah represent two different paradigms. Shabbos, the focus is Melechas Machsheves, the responsibility to be creative, to think out issues. And therefore, once I've thought about planting, that is sufficient. And even if I remove the seeds 15 or 20 minutes later, I've already done the creative act of planting and I violated the Shabbos. When it comes to Shemitah, the end goal is not the creative act so much, but the end goal, what counts is the end goal. And once the seeds take root, then I have violated the Shemitah. My mindset, my machshava, is not as important as the end game, the end goal. And therefore, when it comes to Shemitah, what counts is not your mindset. What counts is the tozaot, the final results. I think when we speak about Yeshiva University and the work that it does on behalf of community, galvanizing all of the energies of Yeshiva University, the intellectual resources of the yeshiva, to be able to empower the yeshiva to affect the Jewish contemporary society, I think these two paradigms of planting are very important. On the one hand, when we work in community issues, we need to understand the planting from the paradigm of Shabbat, and that is to make sure it's done with creativity, with forethought. And what counts is that thought process, that preparation, that evaluation. However, if the only thing that we do is think about issues from a theoretical perspective and aren't willing to make sure that we have appropriate measures and metrics for success, which is the celebration of planting when it comes to Shemitah, then I don't think we actualize the full potential of our responsibility. The president has given the staff of the Center for the Jewish Future the unbelievable opportunity to help shape the Jewish community. In a very simplistic way, because I think our goal here is to hear from you, not as much as from you to hear from us, our goal really is three different points that we would like to try to achieve. Number one is to inspire students to think about that their future should be involved with the Jewish community, either as professionals or as lay leaders. There's a dearth of leadership around the rabbinic community, and there's a dearth of leadership around the board table. They're both important. And therefore, this year alone, over 900 students will be involved in various different leadership programs that hopefully will inspire them, as it has inspired many of us, to become Jewish communal professionals. This summer alone, there are seven different programs whether in Atlanta, in Beverly Hills, or in Yerucham, or the United Kingdom, or even within the tri-state area, which allows students to grow in their own learning, as well as to interact with the community. The second goal and the second agenda of the Center for the Jewish Future, in a very concrete way, is, as the President stated, and that is to work with communities, with the individuals, both the lay leadership as well as the professionals, to create a virtual sense of community, even those communities that are not around Yeshiva University, but recognize their connection to the Yeshiva. So just for an example, the President had the opportunity to speak to, I believe, 10 or 12 different schools today through the Global Learning Initiative, a program that was put together by establishing video conferencing in 19 different schools, which enables us to bring Rosh Yeshiva as well as other Yeshiva University faculty to engage students as well as faculty and administrators and to train them and to teach them. Over 1,000 students this year alone interacted with our Rosh Yeshiva and our Torah personalities through the Global Learning Initiative. So you can speak to Boca Raton and Montreal and Toronto and Seattle all at the same time in a interactive way, as you saw this morning with the Global Learning Initiative taking place, that you were able to have a shiur from Eretz Israel. There's a lot more that we're doing to establish this relationship with school communities. But just to focus for a moment on the rabbis, whether it is the training of the rabbis, which has changed greatly over the past 2 or 3 years, the practical training, whether it's the placement program that Rabbi Schwartzberg and Rabbi Krinsky work terribly hard to make sure it's an effective program, whether it is the fact that this year alone, over 90 rabbis, most under the age of 40, will engage for 3 days with Rabbi Dr. Jacob J. Schachter in a spiritual retreat, where 44 Rebbetzins also had that opportunity to engage in those ways. There's a host of different ways in which we're working with both the professionals as well as the lay leadership. August 19th through the 21st, please God, 70 lay leaders from around the country will come together with the President and some others at Yeshiva University to have a dialogue about empowering lay leadership and a way for us to work in a synergistic way with our communities. And finally, our goal is not only to inspire students. Our goal is not only to create a relationship with the hundreds of communities around the world that celebrate the vision of Yeshiva University and wish and ask for this relationship, but also our goal is to share the vision of YU Torah. And one of the ways that we do that is by finding opportunities for our Rosh Yeshiva, for our young men and young women who are steeped in Torah learning, and to find ways for them to go out in communities. We've done that in a plethora of ways over this year. We've done that by growing a new program that started 3 years ago, the Kol Yom Rishon and Medreshet Yom Rishon, which under the leadership of many people, in particular Rabbi Bieler, has really developed nicely, and a website that hopefully everyone in this room is familiar with, and that is YU Torah, which 2 years ago had 40,000 hits a month and now has over 1 million hits a month. So these are some of the programs and projects that celebrate the concrete ways in which we're engaging. But as I said before, when you plant, our goal is not to plant just with the Shemitah paradigm in concrete ways. Our goal is also to celebrate the planting process, which is celebrated through the notion of Shabbos, and that is the Meleches Machshavos, the creative way. And hopefully through the different opportunities that we have at Yeshiva, the unbelievable resources of this Yeshiva, hopefully over the next few years under the leadership of the President, you'll see that Yeshiva University as a great academic institution will continue to be value added to communities around the world. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi Brander. It's the traffic is starting to thin, so it's almost safe for you to go home. But I thought it would be helpful if just for a few minutes, at your pleasure, any questions or comments or suggestions that you'd like to direct at me or any of my colleagues. One thing that's probably on your mind that I should just speak to, as you know, Rabbi Charlap has announced that he will be stepping down as dean of the yeshiva in June of 2008, and that will be taking a position as a senior advisor to the President on Yeshiva Affairs and Dean Emeritus. You all know that the yeshiva would not have would not have come through the last generation as well and as strong as it did without his unique, loving, manipulative, guiding hand that really makes him very interesting. After all that time, he is still viewed with respect, regard, and yira by the Rabbeim. So it's a very important thing. You should know that this decision was one that that Rabbi Chalap was a full partner in, together with me, and that that Baruch Atah B'Vo'echa, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha is not exactly here, because Zvulun Chalap will remain more than full time working with our yeshiva. What's happening now? You might be surprised to know that I've heard from a few thousand people, all of whom have ideas. Not ideas, all of whom know what I should do. Halavai, you know, some of them should ring right. I have avoided establishing a process. There will be no search committee. I believe that if we would process this nomination or this selection, we would either end up with a consensus candidate, which would mean the lowest common denominator, and someone who will disappoint everyone equally, or we will have a camel. You know what a camel is. A camel is a horse put together by a committee. And I don't need a camel. I need a gavra to be with us. So I'm listening a lot. I'm having conversations with my Rashi Yeshiva one at a time. My major partner in this process is Rabbi Chalap and Rabbi Lamb. If any of you have ideas, suggestions, or guidance, I urge you to make it known to me. I do promise you that we're very sensitive as to both what the needs of the yeshiva are, the role that we play in life, and to recruit the person who hasn't yet been born, who has all the qualities of menschlichkeit, the Torah, and leadership to move us forward. And I fully intend to make this appointment expeditiously. The way the bylaws work, nobody votes on it except the president, and then he forwards that nomination to the REITs board, which affirms my selection. The only thing I will assure you is when the name goes forward, it will be a name that will be enthusiastically embraced by Rabbi Chalap, by Rabbi Lamb, and by me. And I wanted you to understand exactly where we stand on that and how we're moving forward. The floor is open for attacks or questions or comments. I'm usually good at provoking that, about anything you want, validating your parking sticker. It's anything? Anybody? So, yes, sir. I wouldn't put it exactly that way, because I'd like to remain the president. I think the goal is Harbatzis Torah. I think the goal is to move forward a whole series of agendas and to use the strengths of YU to do it in a non-political way. You will not hear this president making any comments negatively about any institution in the Jewish community. I don't think that's our agenda. I respectfully will often say that I disagree, but there's not going to be finger pointing. Yeshiva University doesn't have the job of being a coalition builder with other organizations. I will tell you that we look to work, in addition to with our own rabbinic alumni, certainly with the Rabbinical Council of America and with the Orthodox Union and the like. In terms of other institutions, any of the programs we offer has no barriers as to who can participate in them. In appropriate ways that we deem appropriate at appropriate times, I make myself available. We sent 56 students to the General Assembly of the Council of Federations this year, the largest campus delegation from any university in the United States. We are happy to reach out to anybody in the yeshiva world who wants to participate in programs or in offerings that we have. And I must tell you that my job is to keep my eye on the prize. It's less important to me to see what coalitions I make than that I position my rabbeim and my faculty and my students to really go and make a difference. So you will find that I will probably avoid trying to get involved in all controversies except those that I deem absolutely necessary. So that's the – yes, Rabbi Golden. Well, you see, I believe in diagonal integration. It's And I think, you know, yesh v'yesh. I mean, there are times and places for dealing with things in different ways. And you know that Yeshiva University, and I think our particular slice of the Jewish world is to some degree a bria b'fnei atzma, that we do believe, that we believe in the power of halacha and in the primacy of psak. We also believe that each individual has a direct relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We believe that the responsibility is something that each individual should assume and not seek to pass off. Clearly, we have a yeshiva where every one of our ramim is called a Rosh Yeshiva. And I think that it's not by accident. I'm not sure I wouldn't want to undo it, just because it's hard keeping the names going. But I think part of the philosophy of our yeshiva is that you can have a technicolor world of Torah, where as long as the assumptions are common, it can be safe to disagree and to argue, but to do it l'shem shemayim. In terms of in terms of governance of this university and the yeshiva, it's like any university or like any great collegium, there are bodies of faculty who are defining forces just by virtue of their teaching, and have some appropriate roles in governance. I work for Board of Trustees. I'm not the executive vice president of a Jewish organization. I'm the president of a university, which means they hire me to lead, and hopefully they will be approving of my directions and supportive, and they'll cheerlead and they'll raise money and they'll use their particular expertise, or they'll fire me. That's the rights they have. But And I consult with my faculty and certainly with my Rosh Yeshiva. But I'm pretty much informed in governance, and I mean this just really sharing honestly with no sense of God forbid, no sense of arrogance in this. I pretty much subscribe to Abraham Lincoln's leadership style. In the middle of the Civil War, Lincoln convened a cabinet meeting to discuss a critical issue, and the cabinet discussed it for about 2.5 or 3 hours, at which point Lincoln said, "It's time to call the question. All those in favor say aye." The entire cabinet raised their hand and said aye. Lincoln said, "All those opposed," and Lincoln said nay, and then Lincoln said, "The vote is nay." At the end of the day, my responsibility, subject to the support or censure of my colleagues, is to plot a chart and to create an environment where these extraordinary people can do extraordinary work. If I'm smart, I don't do it as a lunatic, but I do it in full consultation. But what yeshiva needs now is not incremental processing. It needs boldness of vision and action that meets that. In terms of the rest of the community, I take great safety in the fact that we're a university. We don't have to take, in fact, we're not allowed to take political positions, or we lose our tax-exempt status, right? We believe in freedom of speech, so if somebody says, "How could this faculty member say it?" I say, if they say it from the classroom, I have a problem, but if they say it in the street, it's fine. "How could that Rosh Yeshiva say that ridiculous thing?" I say, first of all, I don't think it's a ridiculous thing. Secondly, they're members of a faculty, and that's part of what happens. I think that's how we're trying to do it. Now, this could be totally unresponsive to your question, in which case I've sufficiently finessed it. No, I am completely, I'm completely, well, I would say that embracing intellectual inquiry and discourse is central to what we do here, second only to the primacy of Torah and Harbatzas Torah, and trying to work with Klal Yisrael in fulfilling their goal to build a more perfect world. There are many great universities in this country. There's only one yeshiva university, and we have to deal with all the tensions that are incumbent in trying to do all that we do. It's a real challenge. Yes, sir. Yeah, Rabbi Randall, why don't you respond?
There are several programs we have to train rabbis. One of them, after they finish smicha or towards the end of smicha, one is an internship program. This year, please God, this coming year, over 45 rabbis will be involved in an internship program throughout the country, as well as a mentoring program. We received a grant from the Legacy Heritage Foundation, which allowed us to create a partnership between senior rabbis, those who have spent many years in the pulpit, and those who are new in the pulpit, and to create a mentoring relationship between them, between the mentor and the mentee, a very formal relationship. with a person who is an outside observer who ensures that the relationships really take place and that there is real appropriate interaction between the mentor and the mentee. That is the formal. In addition to that, the Yarchei Kalas that we have for young rabbis are also ways in which we continue the training process.
I want to say two things about this. Number one, we're not so interested in the formality of our programs, which we do. Over and above that, what impresses me so with my colleagues is every shul has to make Shabbos for themselves to some degree, and we can be a partner with them in the strategic visioning of what they need. That's number one. Rabbi Schwartz. Either Rabbi Schwartzberg or Kenny. Rabbi Brander. The other thing I wanted to... Mark Penner. The other thing I wanted to say is I'm not satisfied with the level of training that we give to our smicha students. I think maybe a generation ago we could more get away with saying once they're out in the field they'll be apprentices and they'll learn on-the-job training. That used to work for law. Chalila, it also worked in medicine. It's much more complicated now than that. And one rabbi told me that they decided that they wanted a YU rabbinic intern, and they interviewed 8 rabbinical students. And all 8 of them were very impressive in terms of their Torah knowledge, and not one of them could put a sentence together. And I take that as my responsibility. This is my watch now. We have worked through the chairmanship of Dr. Alvin Schiff, who invented Jewish education, among other things. Put together really a complete remake of what used to be called the supplemental rabbinic program. The notion that a boy going into smicha chooses one of 4 professional paths, and in addition, not as a stepchild to his learning, there's a serious commitment to gain the skills, whether it's strategic planning, whether it's homiletics, and I think we have to do much more to really steel them to go out there and not just say, boy, if somebody could only understand what they were saying, they'd realize what a Talmud Chacham is. We can't afford not to do it that way. It'll take us a couple of years to get our water wings on that, but we're en route. But we're en route that way. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Yes, yeah, sure. Sure. It also depends, you know, who's looking. On this campus, we have the Wurzweiler Graduate School of Social Work. Yeah, no, but I'm somebody comes and they look. I mean, I'm here every day and I look a lot, and I'm here often on Shabbat, and I see what is. I would tell you, and you can accept or not accept. I've instructed our admissions people, anybody who doesn't Dafka want to come, let's talk about Yeshiva College, okay? We won't talk about Stern right now because it's similar. Where many people go, Begila Rosh. I've instructed them, I don't want someone to come to Yeshiva College who doesn't want to come to this yeshiva. I don't want someone to come to Yeshiva College who doesn't participate in or seek to participate in a Torah observant community. I also recognize that this is a university, and I have all kinds of issues. I have ongoing issues with Sephardi children who say, why do I have to wear a kippah? It's not my minhag. I have, thank God, we've begun a mechina program where we have taken in students usually referred by NCSY, who we give scholarship to. When we put them on an aspirational track, they know from nothing. They've indicated a desire. I mean, look, a little bit you have to be meshuga to be here if you don't want this. It's 30 hours a semester instead of 15 hours a semester. I would worry about the mental health of someone who wanted to be here and didn't want to be, a Torah observant Jew. Are there students who are here who are acting out? And can you find Chilul Shabbos, not Befarhesia, can you find Chilul Shabbos? Can you find smoking? Can you find an array of problems? Can you find guys who might not be observing Kashrut if you run into them at a pizza place in Midtown Manhattan? I'm sure you are. I don't know when you attended here, but certainly in my years and in the 70s, it was more than a little. You know, memory is very good. It was always everybody here was very frum and training to be a Gadol Hador. I don't recall yeshiva that way. But I want to go a little further, okay? The notion that when people see students walking around here who appear not to be up to the halachic standards that one would wish, and say, what do we do to get rid of that kid? I believe is close to being gracious. If someone is here and they're not manifesting a halachic lifestyle, something's going on. And this better be a small enough place where we can find ways to get through to that kid. What do I do with a kid who is here in rebellion against his parents? Parents, please let him be in this environment so his friends are going to be frum. We talk to him and he says, yes, I'm absolutely going to be that way. And he acts out in different ways. Well, you should know, I'm a little bit of a right-winger on this, not a left-winger on this. For example, I'm reiterating a policy that says that the dress code requires the covering of the head. Okay, so some of my lawyers and my student affairs people say, you can't do that, Mr. President. After all, you know, it's a secular school. I said, you know, if I was at Brown University, I could articulate a dress code that said you have to wear a beanie with a propeller on top, and it could be part of a dress code. I don't have to say this is a religious obligation. I can say it's part of the cultural milieu that we set here. So we are re-enunciating rules that say yarmulkes have to be worn at all times, a dress code of how we behave. I also believe that I can say there's a code of conduct for Shabbat, and I can do it keeping this side of the Constitution. I'm doing that. But my instructions to my colleagues are to look at these people and say, they're here. How do we reach out to them? I mean, Kiruv is not something we should only do when we work for Eish HaTorah and we find somebody who's a movie producer in Hollywood, right? Kiruv is something we start doing within our own family. So what you should go back and tell that person is, number one, if somebody, after we look at them, we believe is not Shomer Mitzvos, or doesn't have a desire to be Shomer Mitzvos, or an intention to be Shomer Mitzvos, they won't be admitted here. Can we do the test of propriety with every student? It doesn't always work. When we see that they're acting out in different ways, are we trying to find ways to be mashpia them? Yes, we're not trying to do it instantaneously. We're not going to knock down the dorm room and say, you know, we have a nail here, we're putting a yarmulke in your head. But I believe that the culture really believes that we have to start reaching out to these people. By the way, it's very hard here also because some of our Bachrim come back from yeshivas in Israel. They're in monolithic places. They would be most comfortable being with guys who had exactly the same experience they did. And they're insecure enough that when they see a different flavor, right, they see it as a rejection of them. I think this is a classic place where we have to teach them to be comfortable with who they are, secure enough in who they are, that they can reach out to others. It's a hard thing. It's not push it. But I would tell you I spend a whole lot of my time here. The environment is delicious. And whether you're in the Beis Medrash, or whether you come at night to be in the Beis Medrash, or whether you join one of the 95 minyanim that we have in the morning, right? This is a place that's brimming over with celebratory Torah. It really, really is. Gentlemen, I've kept you past the WINS every 10-minute news reports on traffic. It's really my honor to have you here. I would like this to be the beginning of ongoing conversations in lots of ways. Put us to the test. Sometimes we won't perform at 100%. We'll always try. We'll always try. And if we do this together, there really is a new day. There must be, but there will be. So I thank you very much. And if you have not yet, dessert is served. Thank you.
Before the program ends, I just want to take the opportunity to thank somebody who has really done an unbelievable job in putting this together, and that is Rabbi Eli Krimsky. I want to thank him very much for all of his hard work. Thank you, Eli.
Before you bench, I didn't realize that Rav Chalap was not with you all day, so I certainly want to acknowledge the presence of my Rebbe, of Rav Zvulun Chalap. We talked behind your back, hoping you wouldn't come, of how we're moving forward our plans and how you remain firmly at the helm of the yeshiva and Jewish life. Would you like to give greetings, Rav Chalap? I would love it if you would give greetings. So, Rav Chalap.
Thank you very much. I just came to speak really in behalf of the president, and he'd probably be a little upset because I was thinking as I was coming up here, what do you say to a group of chaverim who spent the whole day on Inyanei Shemitah and Shmita's is coming up. And what does it have to say to us in the yeshiva? And of course, bedrock at the bottom of Shmita is bitochen, is emunah. V'osos es hatvua l'shlosh shanim. That the teva of Eretz Yisrael, the nature of Israel is so remarkable, Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, is so remarkable that if we do what we have to do, and in Yirtzeh Hashem we will, so we have to have faith that we won't grow anything from the sixth year, we'll go to the seventh year, and then the eighth year, and only the ninth year, 3 years. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that earth and land that only can bring 1 year's produce, without cultivation, without anything, doesn't even need security. People can just overrun the land. Nobody's going to be anything. You'll be able to do it. So faith is what we need, most of all. And it seems to me, if I were to encapsulate, in just in a few words, why the yeshiva has a bright future in the hands of President Joe, and I wouldn't have said it before, but I'm just coming up with Shmita, and knowing of my dealings and relationship with him for so long, it's because he has faith. And there are many kinds of faiths you have. You have faith, you daven 3 times a day. But faith to risk, faith to gamble, if you feel that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah, and Jewish destiny requires of us, to be able to go ahead. There may not be any money there at the beginning. There may not seem to be any wherewithal at the beginning. But you have to believe always, v'osos esatfua l'shloshanim. And this man believes it, and he has faith. Thank you.